every day is Saturday.
Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fab for Casinos USA Podcast. Hey, we're past St. Patrick's Day, and we're well into March Madness, both for men and women basketball on the collegiate level. But no, we left off last episode, 159. We were in Amarillo, Texas. Amarillo by morning. And today we're going to talk craps, and we're going to get you from Amarillo back to Vegas. And we're going to talk about some St. Patrick Day vignettes that still crack me up, right? And then finally discuss some big wins around the country in a number of casinos. Hey, it's a lot to take in, but we can tough it out if you can. So let's just start with craps. We'll be right back for Craps Talk. Just a short one today, but a very important one. Well, we're back in the saddle with episode 160. Here we are on March 22nd. Oh, I'll make that March 23rd. And let's talk about an issue with craps that a lot of people just don't understand. You know, I am really rocking right now with craps. Man, oh, man. You know, I'm winning $200-$300 a week. And March has been very kind to me. It's made my car payment, paid my electric bill. Man. And it's all taking place online and also at Pittsburgh Live. Yeah. And you know, something that I really have found out that if this could only have happened sooner, I have linked my Pittsburgh live play with my online play through Play Live. And so it's just like being in the casino. And, you know, so goodness, I can play craps at home. I can play craps at the casino, and it's all going to pay off. And man, come on, you know, you're getting $300 a month free play and $40 in matching coupons for that pass line or don't pass line. Any bet that's 1-to-1, really sweet. Episode 160, a little bit of something for everybody. But, you know, one of the reasons so many people never play the don't pass, I bet you 95% of the players who play craps never even think about the don't pass. Just go home angry when the table is cold and too many established points get knocked off by sevens. Oh, that ugly word, seven out, seven out, seven out. And for goodness sakes, don't say you crapped out. You can only crap out on a come out roll. I don't, because I hedge my bet. I'd rather have a craps number than a seven sometimes. But if you don't hedge your bet and just play the pass line, and a craps number comes up, you can say, yeah, I crapped out. Yeah, man. Okay. All right. You didn't seven out, because you can't seven out until you establish a number. Okay, that's just a little something that just gets me, you know, a little bit PO'd, okay, to put it bluntly. But people say, oh, you know what, Coach Fab, I won't play the don't pass because, you know, other than the pass line, when you start playing don't pass with odds, you got to bet more money to win less money. You know, like if, for example, if it's a 10 or a 4, that's the established point, and you put $20 in odds, if a 7 comes out and you 7 out, you win even money on the don't pass, but you only win $10 off that $20 bet. Well, why is that? Well, because you had the advantage. It's much more likely that a 7 will roll mathematically than a 4 or a 10. There's only 3 ways to make a 4 or a 10, right? And there's 6 ways to make a 7. So, you know. But you know what? When you're playing a pass line and you also make come bets or you also make place bets, and this is probably more common, you're doing almost the same thing. This is what I mean. So let's say you're at a $10 table. Do you have a $10 5, a $12 6, a $12 8, and a $10 9? You're playing the inside numbers. Often a very good strategy. Well, let's add those up. You got 10 and 12, that's 22. Then you got 12 and 10, that's 22. You have $44. But believe me, if any one of those numbers hit, you don't win more than $44. But if a 7 rolls, you lose $44. Think about that. So you're putting $44 out to win on a $10 bet or a $12 bet, right? So aren't you doing the same thing? Because you're betting more to win less, but you're risking $44. So it's not much different than the Dome Pass. And actually, it's minuscule, but there's just a little bit of advantage that goes to the Dome Pass line and the odds bet. Whether the odds bet is paying more or less, whether you're a pass line better, where you get true odds, or if you're a Dome Pass better, you get true odds. It's all the same. There's great risk in craps once you go with more than one number. And me, oh my goodness, I like to play the come out role. So I'll do things like make a pass line bet, hop the sevens, and also play three-way craps. I'll do this. Man, I've won a lot of money doing this. Put $40 on the pass line, particularly to start the game. $40 on the pass line and $15 on three-way craps. So if a 12 or 2 comes up, I'm going to hit that for 150 five times 30, right? Minus my $40. I'm still doing pretty good. That's $110, right? And if a 7 or 11 comes up, I lose 15 from 40, That's $25, and that's not doing too bad either. That's something I do sometimes. I'm not saying you should do it, but I'm just telling you. Don't tell me you play the pass line because you get a better performance from your bets, because you risk more to get paid less because you only can win one bet at a time. Right. And when the table is rocking and rolling and someone's rolling numbers, man, the pass line and place bets or come bets is where to be. But when the table's cold, man, don't keep doing that. Don't keep doing that. Just play the Dome Pass. If you don't want to make odds, don't make odds then, okay? It's just even money until the table warms up again. Okay, that's our tip in craps talk. Now let's get you back on the road. We're in Amarillo, Texas, and a very short break. We'll be right back. In our last episode, we were talking about our trip in early January, taking our oldest grandson from Western Pennsylvania back to Vegas. He had come in for a real family tragedy. We had discussed that. And he flew in. And so he was going back, and we rented a Tahoe at the Pittsburgh airport. And it was $1,600 from Pittsburgh to McCarran Airport in Las Vegas. That's called a Harry Reid Airport now, excuse me. Harry Reid Airport in Las Vegas. And we had 5 days to get there. Mileage didn't matter. And I started out, he wanted to meet a friend in Michigan City, Indiana at Blue Chip. And we had a high school friend with us, Derek. And it was one of the coldest days of the winter, And it was actually wind chills coming off Lake Michigan, Blue Chip in Michigan City, Indiana, minus 21. We weren't sure that Tahoe was going to start the next morning. But Patrick hit a $1,620 slot progressive. It was a hand pay, and that paid for the Tahoe right off the bat. And so we had to go south. It was just too damn cold, man. And we were afraid some of those highways going across, 70 or 80, would be closed because they were threatening that icy rain and so on, So we went south through Illinois, and we ended up staying in West Memphis at the Southland Casino. And that was fortuitous for us because Patrick, who is a former high-limit blackjack dealer, baccarat dealer, and craps dealer in Las Vegas, he now has his own business. He's left the casino dealing trade, but he is an expert blackjack player, and he had the cards, of course, and at the Southland, he won over $8,000. He also won $1,000 playing baccarat on one bet, $1,000 bet on the player, so he had a $9,000 win, so anyway, we had to go from West Memphis right across the Memphis, Mississippi River. We were in Arkansas from Memphis, Tennessee, and we had to go to Amarillo, you know, for the next day's travel. And Amarillo by morning, that song we were singing. But the thing was, they were going to play poker. You know, there was a poker room near the Hyatt Hotel. You could walk to it. But after they had been up to 3 o'clock in the morning, because I had to drive first when we left the Southland, they didn't go anywhere but except for food. When we got to Amarillo, so they slept, and we had to go from there to Henderson, Nevada, and we knew that was going to be a hike. So, you know, we took off in the morning. All we did was grab coffee, and we figured we're going to have like a walk-in breakfast at one of the major truck stops. But I want to tell you, the roads still, even though there was a nice storm the night before, the roads were fine. It was colder than hell, and all of a sudden, it just started to warm up a little bit. And we got through Oklahoma, got through Texas and into New Mexico. And I'm going to tell you, it started to get into the 40s. And I had never been in New Mexico. And I loved this part of the trip because the rock formations, it was just, to me, it was a thing of beauty, you know? It was a thing of beauty. And I'm going to tell you, the places that we stopped were very adequate. They were large truck stops, offered all kind of features. You know, you could even take a shower, you know. Hey, truckers and other travelers, shower 17 is now available. It's that kind of place. But, you know, a couple breakfast sandwiches or lunch sandwiches later and, man, suddenly we're going across 40, and all of a sudden we get on 95, and we're headed north up to Las Vegas, into Nevada. And then we know it got cooler again because we were climbing. Ooh, how cold did it get? Well, it didn't get below freezing, but it was cold, and it was dark. We had not really traveled very much. We traveled 30 minutes in the dark when we were coming to the Southland Casino in West Memphis, Arkansas, but we hadn't traveled. We got sunny weather the whole way through, cold and sunny, you know, but it was dark, but it was fantastic. You know, we went from the Boulder Dam, Hoover Dam, this is the same damn thing, right? And you just come down that hill into the Las Vegas Valley, and it's dark, and the lights are on, and you can see the Spear, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. We were so excited, and we were picking up my father-in-law, and Jill lives in Las Vegas with a very successful business person named Jimmy, and he was taking us out to dinner, you know, so, oh my. So we went to one of his locations, and picked him up, and we had some Italian food, and oh, it was wonderful. And I stayed with Jimmy that first night, and Derek stayed with Jimmy's hospitality, and then we also Patrick dropped us off after dinner, and we went to he went home. He lives with his fiance Ashley, and he said he'd pick us up the next day, and would return. He would drop me off, actually, the next day at the Delano, at which I was going to stay. And so that's what happened. So Derek and I went to the Delano the next day, said goodbye to Jimmy, closed the place up, and waved to the three doggies looking out the window. And Patrick picked us up, and we went to the Delano, and I had a beautiful suite there. We had suites every night. I had a beautiful suite there at Delano. I would definitely stay there again. And, you know, it's just a hallway to Mandalay Bay, and I like that. And so Patrick was going to bring Ashley up to Mandalay Bay early evening, late afternoon for dinner. We're going to celebrate because, you know, all three of us won money. I mean, how many times do you go across the country and everybody wins money? So all three of us win money. And we had a We had a dinner on Patrick. That was great. Great hospitality. And afterwards, of course, Ashley hit for over $300 playing in Mandalay Bay slot machine. And I had a plus $500 win at the Mandalay Bay craps tables. And it was, wow, what a trip. And then Patrick cleaned the car up. And then the next morning he picked us up. And Derek flew home on a different flight. He was a performing artist, guitar player, did a solo act, singer, guitar player. He was going to a casino called Lady Luck at Nemacolin Resort in the mountains of Western Pennsylvania in Farmington. And I was flying home to Pittsburgh, and I was greeted with cold and snow again. So I stayed overnight in Pittsburgh, and then my daughter Jill, who was still here with the other two children, she came to pick me up at the airport. And so we all got back, but it was just a wonderful experience. And I would encourage you to take a casino trip that way. You know, you have to be smart about it. Chipaway can help you. There's casinos, you know what, I don't know how many states, 40 states, come on, you know, 40 states has legalized gambling. And say what you want to say about it, but I don't think there's a safer place to stay than a casino hotel. I mean, they have armed guards, you know. You know, some places are so desolate. So if you're not at a casino, man, I think you're vulnerable. And particularly, you know, if you're a young lady traveling by yourself. But if you're a casino player and you have money, you know, it's the same kind of gig, man. I like to stay in casino hotels. I feel much more secure. And there's other advantages, you know, 24/7 food, When you stop for the night, you don't have to go out another 15 miles to find a place to get a cup of coffee, you know, all those kind of things. So that's something that we really enjoy. So we got back to Vegas, and it was, I'm going to call it a plus $10,000 trip, maybe as much as a $12,000 trip across the country, you know, taken for some very sad reasons, but it was a memorable trip. We got to talk about some very important issues, you know, the meaning of life, marriage, love, everything like that. It was great. So, you know, that's how I'll close that. Now, at the same time, St. Patrick's Day was on the horizon, and that came and went. And so I'm going to go right into, with just maybe a drum roll, vignettes. And that's a literary term. I was an English major at Notre Dame, and I always liked that term. Little vignettes are slices of life, you know? And isn't that what we remember, whether it's in a casino, whether it's somewhere else, around the family dining table, you know, a trip you took, an episode, a Christmas or Thanksgiving Day dinner from long ago, little things you remember, little slices of life. And St. Patrick's Day is, there's a real sense of fraternity in these Irish pubs, and of course, our grandchildren now are running an Irish pub in Western Pennsylvania. It's one of the nicest ones, that's for sure. And they also had music and entertainment. And people were sharing stories. And we heard this story from a young lady. The tables around her, she spoke very loud, like cell yell, because there was an Irish band playing. I got to share this story with you. Okay, little drum music, and we'll be right back for a vignette that's going to knock your socks off. Okay, so consider the background of, well, you know what? I think I recorded it, so put it on. Well, you know, you hear the noise in the background and the music, and wow, so hear the conversation and the Irish band in the background, and suddenly a lady named Jones is telling a story, and it just captured the attention of, you know, 15, 16 people around her. And she might have been a little intoxicated after those Irish cocktails, and I was drinking that Irish scotch, that dark beer. You all know what it is. Oh, it's an acquired taste, man. Guinness dark. Anyway, she was in ninth grade, and she's telling the story. she was between boyfriends, and, you know, she was young and innocent, and she went to a birthday party, and the birthday party was in a state park in Pennsylvania. Has some really nice state parks, you know, and kids would go there and build fires and, you know, have a party and maybe walk across wooden bridges, and it's all romantic and stories. And your parents come to the park and pick you up, and everybody goes home, right? And there aren't any rangers around, man, you know. There just aren't enough of them. As long as you clean up your mess, you're not going to get arrested, you know. But you can yell and scream, run, play music, whatever. So she said, this boy said, you want to take a walk? Because, you know, the couples were like, even though it was ninth grade, they were, you know, playing kissy face. And she wasn't thinking along those ways. She said, yeah, I'll take a walk, you know. And of course, they had been running around, and she had macaroni salad, potato salad, you know. Forced down hot dogs. Come on, man. She was stuffed to the gills, she said, and she wasn't feeling real well, and she thought, oh, maybe I can walk some of this off, you know. She wasn't drinking or anything, but she just said, oh, my goodness. So, you know, this boy's walking her, and they stop on this bridge overlooking what they call a creek, a creek, a small waterway. I was trying to do a little colloquial creek, you know, but it's a creek. But so she said, she thought the boy was going to, like, kiss her cheek, give her a kiss and a thing. And he said, all of a sudden, he stuck his tongue in her mouth. And she's never been French kissed before. And he started to push that thing all around her mouth. Now, everybody's just staring at her, tell the story. And she says, oh, my God, she had to throw up. So she just started throwing up over the bridge into the creek, and she started to run, and the boy just stood there, and she started to run. She goes, oh, run, 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 run. And finally, she ran back to the fire and to where the cars were pulling in, and here she got a ride home. Oh, she got a ride home to a small town where she lived, and a boy, of course, lived in the same town, but he didn't chase her, you know. He was probably embarrassed about the reaction. But anyway, when she got home, her mother had been taken to the hospital for something she didn't know. The grandmother was there and said, your mother had to go to the hospital. Now you have to go to the hospital to see how your mother's doing. You know, I don't know exactly what it was. I don't think it was a heart attack, but there was something wrong. The grandmother was up there in age, and she said, okay, grandma. She got a neighbor to take her to see her mother in the hospital. And, you know, she was afraid, and she went. She went to the hospital. Well, while she's in the hospital, the boy who had French kissed her without her permission comes to her house, and the elderly grandmother opens the door, and he says, is Joan here? And he came to apologize. And the grandmother says, she had to go to the hospital. So this kid's thinking, not only did his French kiss make her sick, he's thinking she had to be hospitalized too. Oh, my goodness. Huh? Oh. Well, that's the kind of stories you hear in Pittsburgh on St. Patrick's Day. Okay. We'll be back and talk about some of the big wins around the country. Oh, my goodness. Feel free to tell that story. So in our January journey, as I said, we left Michigan City, Indiana, stayed at the Blue Chip. It was just too cold and dangerous to stay north. We had to go south. We went south through Illinois, and we ended up in West Memphis, Arkansas, and stayed at the Southland Casino Hotel. And on January 24th, that was, oh, geez, about 19 days after we were there, they had a record-breaking jackpot for their casino. The Southland Casino, ladies and gentlemen, is fantastic. It's a gorgeous place, clean, beautiful place. You know, when I say West Memphis, Arkansas, you might think, come on. But I'm telling you, it's sensational. Anyway, it was a historic moment at the Southland Casino. And that's because a man named James Martin, he made gambling history. He won a remarkable $657,089.35 jackpot, courtesy of a side bet in a Progressive Jackpot Hold'em five-card poker game. You know, it's the same thing. You know, people say these side bets are just money traps. Don't play them. Don't play them. And you can say that all you want to until somebody hits, right? It's obviously a tremendous risk. But the dealer said, you know, he dealt him a royal flush, and that was for the record money. And come on, it was so much excitement. The dealer said, I'm glad I could make someone's day. I think so. Anyway, I'm not going to be critical of these side bets, because if somebody wins, you know, $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, over $1 million with these side bets, I would be the last one to say, hey, it's not worth it. Don't do it. You know, come on. So in our podcast, we want to give you, you know, something that's record breaking, not just read about big wins, but this is sensational. A side bet in Southland Casino's history, the biggest win that they've had so far. Okay, that's the next time I'm at a table game with a side bet. I think I'm going to make one once in a while. So we'll be spending Easter this year, and we like to go on casino trips over to Easter break, and we'll be spending Easter this year at the Rocky Gap Casino in Western Maryland. It's an old favorite. I'm very curious because it's a new gaming company now running it, and I'll give you a report on that. Also, we'll be talking about Pittsburgh Live and Merida Live. We'll be going down there in May, talking about the Cordish family and the wonderful casinos outside of Vegas that they've created. And, you know, try your hand at a little short trip if you don't want to go across the country as we did. You know, a night away, 2 days away, casino stays. Generally, they have beautiful indoor swimming pools and of course, in the warmer weather, outdoor. And the Rocky Gap Casino is one of the most beautiful venues of any casino in the country. And I can't wait to get back. Jenny and I wish you happy Easter. Stay young, stay fresh. And you know what? Bring them the bacon, baby. All right. Thanks for playing. Thanks for listening. And we'll see you again in a couple of weeks. Bye-bye. Every day is Saturday.